That's the spirit.
Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, good, good, good. Now, we did give people a warning about 20 minutes ago, but in case you've just tuned in, we are talking today about Centrepoint and Bert Potter. So, as I said to you earlier, Peter, we're going to do a little trigger warning if you don't want to hear about Centrepoint. For some people, of course, this is still sort of fresh in their mind many years later, but that we are going to be talking about that. So, just putting that out there now. But, Peter, we are visiting an old topic.
Yes. See, when I moved to Auckland to work at Massey University at the Albany campus, I'd heard the stories about Centrepoint, and there were still remnants of Centrepoint up on the hill behind Massey University at that point. And I found it very interesting because we had a course in which we could deal with historical backgrounds to current topics.
Right.
And so I touched on Centrepoint, and needless to say, some of the older students were from the area and knew a lot about the topic.
Wow.
And talked to me about it. And years later, Massey University's psychology department did a very detailed investigation into the impact of Centrepoint on the children. And in the light of what's going on, you know, with the Jeffrey Epstein and his numerous wealthy mates, it's interesting to reflect that New Zealand has had a very, very parallel and in some ways a lot more disturbing group active in the Centrepoint community on the Albany Hill.
Yeah, so let's rewind, and there'll be some people, like I said, there'll be some people for who this is a very nasty memory, but then also some people who will have never heard about it before. Judah, you know, there's some younger people listening, of course. Can you rewind and tell us a little bit about what happened?
Yes. So in the early 1970s, there was a great burst of what were called encounter groups. And so encounter groups, very much in where you could find your real self by releasing yourself from all the inhibitions and the things that kept you from discovering your real self. And this process of self-discovery in group therapy became very in vogue in a lot of parts of the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
And as it happened, one of the most persuasive of the advocates was this man called Bert Potter, who was, he had no particular training, but had done an enormous amount of reading on encounter groups, had travelled, and you can see that there's quite a bit of Eastern influence, especially from India, from both Buddhism and Hinduism, in some of his teachings. And he became the kind of recognized guru here in Auckland by people who thought that somehow he had some particular formula that helped them to strip away their sense of false identity and discover their true selves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking back at Bert Potter, everybody who remembers him seems to recall an almost hypnotic power of an ability to attract people and to hold them with a sense of profound awe, so that, strangely enough, in a community where everything was free and there were no rules, there was one rule: Bert Potter is always right.
Right, okay.
And that created what became this community. So that's the early 70s. By the late 70s, they've developed a house in Epsom in which they're holding these therapy groups. And then they search for land where they can build some kind of commune or community and find the land in Albany and slowly begin setting up. A small group of them set up houses there. And these are really ramshackle batches, but then you've got to remember that Albany was really on the fringe of Auckland.
Yeah, there wasn't no malls in sight.
That's right, yes. And they had to encounter the formidable opposition of Takapuna Borough Council, which ruled over the North Shore in those days.
Mm.
And Takapuna Borough Council was very conservative in outlook. Perhaps this is the flavour of the North Shore. And so they were not enthusiastic about having advocates of free love right within their neighbourhood.
Sure.
And so they, for 1983-84, consistently blocked any permits that would enable them to create houses for the quite a large number of people that started together. But finally, they were overturned by the Planning Commission, Planning Tribunal. And what was called the Longhouse, which was kind of communal living,
right,
was set up in Albany. And the community attracted very quickly large numbers of people.
Right.
So at its height, it had about 300 people.
Really?
Yeah, it was huge.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I didn't know the scale.
Yeah. Scale was significant. It didn't last at that size for very long. It was soon back to about 60 adults and perhaps the same number of children. Between 120 and 180
mm-hmm.
for most of the time. And it existed more or less until the late 1990s when government inquiries and the imprisonment of its leader led the community to go into recess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to hear about their therapy or do you want to hear about their religion?
We got time. You know, this is because I'm just realizing as you say it, like I was quite young when the story came out, so I think I've only got really a headlines memory of what happened. So this is actually helping me understand.
And one of the things about Centrepoint, even when it was in full flourishing, is that people existed on a very small smattering of information, dramatic headlines from the Truth newspaper, and a lot of talk about free love. But there was one very interesting book produced by a member in 1986, Len Oakes, called Inside Centrepoint.
Uh-huh.
And this stage, it's a very sympathetic account of Centrepoint by a member, but a very intelligent read, although he was to leave the community shortly after he finished the book,
right,
because he fell out with Bert Potter. So what we can see from this book is that Bert Potter was regarded, described himself almost in a kind of metaphorical way as God.
Right.
He was the center of reality. He was the one who knew things. He was using both group therapy and hypnosis in order to help people to develop. Incidentally, some of the terms of Scientology seem to share a bit in common with Centrepoint, although the practices of Scientology don't go to the extremes of Centrepoint.
Right.
And the key aspect of the therapy that he was producing was that if you were to really find your freedom, and if you were to truly hear the voice of God in yourself, you must listen to what Bert said, and you must be prepared to completely transform your existing relationships. So that meant mm-hmm. that you were allowed to be married, but marriages were not allowed to be closed or exclusive. And
right.
So there was,
hand over your partner.
Yeah. And there were significant amounts of sleeping around, as you can imagine. Then there was a great deal of experimentation with drugs, a lot of use of ecstasy and the like to produce a heightened sense of awareness. And they were manufacturing this on site.
Right.
And it was that in the end led to the police to intervene.
Right.
But the other side to it, which was very significant, was that the kids were given a kind of Rousseau theory of education, that children have the truth in themselves. They can learn things by discovery. And so they encouraged the same sort of therapy they gave to the adults. They encouraged it with children.
Oh, okay.
And so we had young boys experimenting, and there was a fair bit of sex between children and adults.
Right.
Let alone between, children and other children.
Yeah, including with Bert Potter.
Pardon?
I said including with Bert Potter.
Yes, indeed. Oh, Bert Potter had children, right until when he was quite old, who were extremely young, his partners. So that when, in fact, he was brought to trial, it was not only for manufacturing drugs, but then it was for breach of the age of consent.
Mm.
And that is the really shocking and disturbing aspect to the story.
Yeah.
Because they reckoned that there were probably, in their time, 300 children in the community. And they were all brought up with the loosest sense of respect for anybody else and a total belief that experimenting in sex was part of what life was about.
Mm.
And you can imagine those children, and so there's a lot of those children around as adults today, and who may or may not have listened to heeded your warning, who were traumatised at the time.
Back then, I suppose, there wasn't a lot of people didn't know about follow-up therapy, therapy and that sort of stuff potentially. So were they just sort of let to go, or what happened?
Well, I mean, initially nobody knew what to do about it. And really, the Royal Commission on Abuse, which the report came out last year, was aware that this was a very significant group of victims. And the ways to address it were not at all clear.
Yeah.
But the difficulty with victims who are themselves perpetrators as well as victims is that they're doubly messed up.
Mm. There's something about there's something in the I remember seeing recently about the Epstein thing, where some of the redacted names of co-conspirators are also some of the people who were his victims originally. And you can just imagine how that happens, actually. You know, you get it's whether it's Stockholm syndrome or just, believing what you're told despite what your, your better instincts and that sort of stuff.
And you see, part of that, the fact that you're hinting at, is that a lot of those who were involved in the community were from pretty respectable backgrounds.
Yeah.
They were, if you like, it was a form of hippiedom, with people who'd often gained their professional qualifications. There were teachers, there were lawyers, there were various people in the community who, were very able and who believed they had discovered themselves. Although, because the thing was that when you threw all your trust in Bert Potter, you were trusting in a pretty unreliable source of revelation.
Mm. Yeah. I've got to say, I just had a text, just as we were just saying, this kind of people, the post kind of people. I had in back of my mind thinking, I imagine there are still people, I had somehow heard there are still people who have fond memories of the place, despite it all, And someone has just texted in saying, I actually live with Bert Potter's daughter and know quite a lot of people who grew up there who say a lot of positive things from growing up there. One person I know made a documentary about the positive side of the place. People forget there are two sides. I mean, there's no, there's my take on that is that there's no one's saying you didn't have some positive things, but if you've got child abuse happening, then I don't understand how anything is justified.
And I think what you're touching on is that I think earlier generations were more accepting of a kind of a fuzzy boundary between child and adults and sexuality. And today, and especially in the light of the Royal Commission, where we find that all pretty abhorrent.
Yeah.
And of course, the Potter case itself, when it came to trial, I think brought a very strong sense of horror to people that children could be assumed to be independent moral agents.
Mm.
Now, you're right that I certainly know people who are very, well, who hung around because there were groups when the trust was in fact dissolved in the end by the pressure from government. But a couple of successor trusts, I mean, the story's too confusing to possibly explain, but came and went because there were people who were very loyal to Bert Potter.
Yeah.
And partly because it was a religion. In its own way, it was a deep belief in Bert Potter's vision of the world. And there's nothing more powerful and more dangerous than a religious belief justifying what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any recommendations for resources for people to read more about this?
Yes, I would strongly recommend that people look up, and you can find a reference at the bottom of the Wikipedia article, the article that was produced by the Massey University psychologist, which is called A Different Kind of Family, Retrospective Accounts of Growing Up at Centrepoint and Implications for Adulthood, which is touching on what you're saying about. So that was done, I think, in 2013. Mm. So it's relative.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Peter, you there? Hello? Hello, Peter. Hello. Oh dear, I think we may have lost Peter there, but we were gearing up to say goodbye, but I'll call Peter back and I'll get the name of that thing, just I'll write it down and I can repeat it for anyone who's interested. Yeah, well, that's the spirit. I have some